Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 69, recorded on Thursday, 15th September 2011. Dude, always mute your labradoodle. We discuss Social Media Week, IBM's use of social media to market its products and services, the difficulty of finding relevant and accurate technical information on IBM products, and the state of the domino jobs market. All this and more on This Week in Lotus. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com.
This Week in Lotus is proud to be sponsored by Sonos. Sonos allows you to stream all the music on Earth wirelessly in any room. With a big sound from the latest Play 3 player, in a compact size and at a price you've never seen before, just $299 per unit. Control it wirelessly with your Android or iOS device. Get free two-day shipping with a special promo code available only from This Week in Lotus. Go to thisweekinlotus.com/sonos for more information. Well, hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. We're back for episode 69 of the weekly Roundtable Lotus podcast. I'm Stuart McIntyre and I'm joined by my co-host Darren Duke. Hello, Darren.
Good morning, Stuart. Good morning, the world. Good evening, the world, depending on where you
are. They're listening. Indeed, indeed. And how's your week been?
Painful. I lost a tooth, a first tooth I've lost since the age of seven. So this, I'm 1 week into 40 and already bits are dropping off.
Oh, it can only go downhill from here. It's not good news.
Thank you for that.
Oh, it's great to have you on again, Darren. Good to speak to you. And we're joined, as ever, by a panel of esteemed guests from around the community. First of all, we're joined by Colleen Burns. Hello, Colleen.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Thank you. Good to have you on the podcast, Colleen. Do you want to tell us what you do for IBM, what your role is?
I am the social media strategist for IBM Collaboration Solutions. Pretty new in the role, but I work on the IBM strategy around social media as it relates to social business.
I guess, does that involve Twitter and Facebook and all those kind of things?
That's a bit of it. Yeah, for sure. How are we reaching out to our community, giving them channels so that they can, you know, we can continue the discussion? Certainly Facebook and Twitter, but it goes beyond that. You know, social business entails using all of the collaboration solutions so that you can also collaborate externally, but also internally without having, you know, seamlessly.
That sounds like a pretty big role. Do you want to talk to us about how you got into that role, what you've done previously for IBM and so on?
Previously, I was working in, I am currently working with Lotus Live, and I was their communications lead, working on a variety of things where I think the last time you and I spoke, I might have been interviewing you, Stuart. So. Wow. So I'm still working in that role, but it really all comes together because, you know, social media permeates every part of the business. Doesn't matter where you are.
Absolutely. I would completely agree with that. So that's great. Good. Thanks for joining us today, Colleen. Really appreciate you being on the call. And we're also joined by Ray. Hi there, Ray. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing outstanding. How are you all doing?
Doing well, thank you. And you'll notice I backed out of saying your surname because I'm known for making such a mess of difficult pronounced surnames. Go on, tell us your full name.
Ray Billick.
Oh, I probably could have managed that.
It's Ukrainian.
Oh, wow. Okay. So have you always lived in the U.S. or?
I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan.
Okay. And you still live in that area?
Yes. I actually live a little bit south of Detroit in little small town called Southgate. It's what they call the Downriver area, which is kind of like the Detroit version of Kentucky.
Never having been to Kentucky, I'm not quite sure what that means, but I'm sure it's very nice there. Ray, do you want to tell us what you do in your day job?
My day job, I'm a system administrator and collaboration engineer for a large for a medium-sized banking institution, headquartered out of Texas, but we have offices and branches in a few different states, especially here in the Midwest.
Okay, and I guess that means you work with Lotus Domino. Are there other products we'd know about that you work with?
We're working with Notes and Domino. We dabbled a little bit in some of the other collaboration products. We're still using Same Time just as basically for the presence awareness, but that's about it. But in my previous life, I was a Lotus instructor, so I did a lot of training with a lot of the collaboration products.
Excellent. Of course, we had you on the live show from MW Lug as well, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and that was a blast.
Excellent. It was great to have you back again this week, so thanks for joining us, Ray.
I appreciate it.
And so, as usual, we have a list of topics we're going to try and work through in the hour we have for this call. I invite everybody to jump in and join in the conversation. We'd love some comments on the blog as well, so if you've got any feedback, please do give it to us, listeners. So, Colleen, let's start with you. Next week is labelled as being Social Media Week, which obviously has got relevance to you in terms of your role with IBM. Do you want to talk to us about what kind of social media means? I mean, that term is bandied around an awful lot, but what do you understand by that term? What would you include within it?
Well, first of all, Social Media Week is an international week that's sponsored by a group, socialmediaweek.org, and they're hosting it in 12 cities, but as you know, social media is online, so it doesn't matter where you are. And IBM is going to use Social Media Week as an opportunity to launch a public discussion on the difference between social business and social media. And so you'll find us having this discussion in blogs, on other websites, and even on in mobile ads. So we're inviting people to come and have this discussion up primarily on, we're going to start on Twitter. So if they follow a hashtag, they follow hashtag IBM Social, B-I-Z. And if you follow that hashtag, hopefully we're going to see a lot of different discussions. We're really trying to, stir the water on this and understand from other people what they, where it's really about listening. What do they think the difference is between social business and social media? And so you asked me, that wasn't what you asked me at all.
But, that's okay.
You wanted to know what the difference was or what do I think social media is. I mean, social media is, it's become a way of life for a lot of people, whether you're in business or, in your personal time. But, and it's become sort of a marketing tool, but it is somewhat limiting. Which is why, IBM likes to talk about social business because social media is just a piece of that. It allows you to connect with folks, but using collaboration tools, rich collaboration tools like I'll make a plug for Lotus Live while we're here, that allows you to connect both internally and, sort of cultivate that that community within your company, but also, like I said before, seamlessly outside of the company, not necessarily having to make that differential. So social media helps you do that. I mean, Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, we all use them every day. It's part of being a social business.
So one of the questions I get asked a lot is this the first step in an evolution where it used to say we all need to be on the internet so we can do business? And basically now a website is not even a question. It's the way organizations do business. Do you think putting the word social on business doesn't have maybe some negative connotations for the maybe above, I'll make the same mistake Stuart made in early episodes, maybe above the over 50 crowd have?
By throwing the word social in front of business?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I really think this is an evolution. And I think maybe 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, perhaps it's because I'm so entrenched in it. If I step back and think, I made a comment actually the other day about it was my dad's birthday, and I mentioned something on Facebook about that. And then I had to laugh because all I could hear with my dad's thick Irish brogue was, yeah, oh yeah, what's Facebook? So yeah, maybe. But I don't think in terms of the business world, I think people do realize that it is it is a way of doing business, and I don't think that throwing social in front of that is in any way a hindrance. I think that people expect that. If you're not working socially today, I think you're in trouble. That's Colleen's opinion.
And I guess the thing to remember is that businesses can be more social, but there's no such thing as a social business, which is a term that seems to get bandied around a lot. But it's all about businesses being, you know, more engaged with their customers through social media, but also being more engaged with their employees. And there's so many different facets to it.
Yeah, he agrees.
You have a very noisy dog, Colleen. I mean, is that what you'd say? Is that social media is a part of social business?
Absolutely. Social media is a part of social business. And you made a very good point there that, you know, it's really about... It's really about driving the business. It becomes a part of the culture. We don't sell social business. You can't call up IBM and say, I'd like to, you know, buy one of your social business packages. It's how you're doing business. It's what you're using. So you're using, as we've said, things like Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Tumblr and you're blogging, but you're also using, these collaborative tools that allow you to interact with the customer in a way that just working with some social media is very one-dimensional. It really brings it full circle.
And you know, Ray, maybe you can jump in here. I mean, you know, at the kind of, you know, at the financial institution level, is do you think social business is something that organisations like yours, but others besides, understand now? Do you think that the word is getting out in terms of what social business and social media is and how it can help?
I think the word is getting out, and I think financial institutions are slowly moving toward it. Some are moving faster than others, but I think part of that has to do with the idea that of whether the financial institution is more consumer oriented or business oriented. I think the business financial institutions or the business based financial institutions are moving to it in a much slower fashion. Because they want to be careful. I think the elephant in the room when you're talking about social business or social media is the security of something like that, insider trading. I also think that from a federal guideline perspective, I think banking institutions and financial institutions are kind of gun-shy going that direction just because of potential lawsuits and things like that.
And I'll reiterate what Ray said, because I think it was yesterday or maybe early last week, Lisa started a new customer with a social media engagement, and these guys are a financial institution. So there's not only, you know, we're not only have a gun shy, but there's also regulation, specifically in the US, that the FDIC and the Treasury and all of them people haven't yet figured out what to tell them. So certain institutions cannot, quote unquote, advertise or solicit business. And if you're not allowed to solicit business, you know, solicit business has almost the same letters as social business. So what do they do? So I think there's a lot still to be talked about in the financial area that, you know, a lot of people seem to be ignoring, maybe because I think they're blaming security when in fact of matter, they really don't want to get involved because they have no idea what the FDIC will say, or the Fed, sorry, the Treasury.
Exactly. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's one of those things where they kind of change their mind midweek or midstream. So, it, you know, what becomes an okay idea at the beginning of the week has now become banned by the end of the week. So it's very much a challenge for financial institutions. That being said, I know in my organization, we've already got social media guidelines that we have in place. And I've always wanted to sit down with IBM's social media policies, which is published, versus ours, and just kind of make a comparison to see if they did a cut and paste or whether somebody really in a company really thought it out.
And what do you think the answer is?
I think it's going to be a combination. I think from what I initially saw, I think there was a little bit of the framework there, and that might have been taken from IBM's, you know, purely, or it might have been just a framework that was out there somewhere else that they kind of built around. But, you know, the fact that I actually saw some guidelines was very encouraging for me, at least.
Well, and I think it's always easier to start off with somebody else's and build off it. And IBM's is, if not just as good as anyone else's, probably better because they have been doing it for quite a while. And it doesn't seem to have ended the company. They're not trading it 59 cents and the feds aren't walking out with all their boxes of financial statements. So I think it's an example of the fact that you can do this provided you have the guidelines in place. And I guess also not just the guidelines, but you have a stick behind the guidelines.
I think that's right. And then, you know, it's all about policies and process and getting those in place. And I guess that's another indication that this isn't something that's different or kind of otherworldly. It's all part of the way we do business. And so you've got to approach social media and social business with the same kind of attitude as you do the rest of your business. You know, if you're negotiating a new telephone contract and, you know, then you know, you've got to think about the ways in which telephones are going to be used. And social media is just another communication method that you have to manage and police and audit or whatever in the same kind of way, albeit one that's maybe a little bit more challenging to do that with if you're in that particular kind of industry. And you know, IBM, you know, we certainly know from our position as partners, is certainly embracing social media. Colleen, do you have any particular kind of, you know, case studies or things you can talk about in terms of the way maybe ICS or IBM as a whole is really embracing social media?
I mean, it's part of our everyday. I mean, when you look at Lotus Connections, that is how we're starting to communicate, you know, with our employees. Emails, you know, you've got to learn to break some habits. So, you know, we still send out email, of course, but oftentimes, and I'm sure this happens in all companies, I mean, it's linking to files that are, you know, either in Lotus Connections or in Lotus Live, and it's in the cloud, which I have to say personally I love because my inbox is usually inundated, and this really saves a lot of space. It really is just the way that we do business. I mean, it's an example you'll see on Monday, you know, during social media week. Everything we're doing is online. You know, whether it's from your mobile phone, you might see some banner ads on other blogs, on other websites. It is truly, you know, an online public discussion.
And I don't necessarily think it has to be quote unquote public. I think IBM and the likes of the big companies like Microsoft et al., they have their own product that does instant messaging in IBM's case at the same time. And I think IBM, you know, I wouldn't say force same time on their employees as soon as they walk in at all, but it's one of the de facto communication mechanisms. So I think moving from same time to something else is just an evolutionary step for IBM. But it's going to be interesting to see what the customers who don't have same time do.
Well, I mean, you know, we have things like Skype. You know, we have Skype integrated into Lotus Live. You know, there's all sorts of tools out there. But at the same time, I don't know how I would have, you know, I joined IBM 10 years ago and we were using same time. And it is, you know, it's how we do business. In fact, I remember reading an article in the New York Times about this a couple months ago. You might have seen it. And it was sort of how sort of the telephone is sort of obsolete, and it's almost offensive to get a phone call without knowing that phone call is coming. It always throws me off guard. My office phone rings. I'm like, who would call me without same timing me first or texting me to tell me they're going to call me? You know, it's a much more efficient, I think, way of working. You get the instant answers that you need, and that's the way business is. Nobody has time to sit around and wait and leave a voicemail message and hope to get a phone call back.
Absolutely right. And you know, maybe Colleen, in terms of you know, your position now, can you talk about any of the kind of efforts that you're planning to make in the future that you can kind of, you know, talk about? I guess particularly you must be already thinking forward towards Lotusphere, and I guess there's probably quite a lot of stuff you can't or don't want to reveal to us now. But any thoughts on you know, how Lotusphere is being dealt with from a social media perspective or any of the campaigns you're about to be running?
Well, we, you know, there is some, we're certainly talking about Lotusphere and what's coming up. We have a lot of other events leading up to Lotusphere, and it's all, once again, an evolution. Things that we're doing every day, we're going to see on a more magnified scale at Lotusphere. I mean, I think you'll remember last year, I wasn't in this role, but the team did an amazing job of incorporating social media and social business as a whole into the conference. They brought in tools like Gowalla, you know, the QR codes everywhere you look now. I think, and I love the fact that IBM is always willing to, when it comes to social media and social business, willing to push the envelope. What are people doing out there? How can we apply it to what we're doing? You know, there's not that, you know, that old, the long turnaround time. When it comes to social, you know, social business, there's not. We know that it's instantaneous. So, you know, what is it, September? I couldn't tell you what we're going to be doing in January yet. That's going to continue to evolve for sure. But I can promise you that we're going to try to push the envelope and, you know, get people involved as much as we can. The other thing that we're trying to do that is also very important is we're still in the process of changing habit within the company. Sure, some of us are, you know, on Facebook all day, on Twitter all day, and but not everybody is. You know, our sales team, we're getting them engaged. We're enabling them to, you know, use this as another tool to help drive their sales, to reach out to their customer and give them that, you know, instant feedback that they need. So it's on our ramp up towards Lotusphere. You know, we're also building good habits and best practices within the company.
And I do kind of feel for the whole Lotusphere planning, because I always joke to people that IT years are like dog years. So for every one actual year, it's more like seven. And I think in the social business, social media context, I think that's even doubled again. I think one actual year is more like 14 years. And it's just that faster generational switch of the tools and what we can do with them. So it'll actually be interesting.
Only seven.
Oh, well, there you go, yeah. It'll actually be interesting, Stuart, if we did a podcast after Lotusphere, just saying the tools they used at Lotusphere 11 and the tools they used at Lotusphere 12 and see if they're the same.
Oh.
And almost certainly they will change. I mean, we've seen year-on-year changes. So things like location awareness. So Chris Miller started that as a community project probably 3 years ago with Brightkite, and then we went on to Foursquare, and then IBM adopted Koala at Lotusphere 2011. So, yeah, I guess it's always evolving based on what social media is being used by people outside.
And is it getting better? Because all change is not necessarily good.
You know, I think at the core of it, it really, and we were discussing this the other day, it's really about the tool or the mechanism that you're using to deliver the same message. You know, your message is going to evolve, but your message doesn't change at the heart of it. It's the tools that you're using to deliver it. What is more convenient? You know, what's cooler? What are people adopting? And we have to keep our ear to the ground and follow that, you know. If people are following Foursquare, if people are following Goala, if they're following whatever the new tool would be, that's the cool thing is that we're willing to try it.
And is that going to be an issue for IBM just because you're a 100-year-old company, you said the word cool? You know, I could ask 116 year olds, tell me a word you associate with IBM, and I'm pretty sure none of them will. In fact, there's, he agrees with me again. Look at that.
He took offense to that, actually.
IBM's bad for the first time ever on the podcast, and it wasn't by him. And my point here is that going to be a difficult nut to crack for IBM? You know, there is some stuff I think IBM's done good. I think Watson really, rocketed you guys to the top of a list of, wow, look what can be done. But don't we have to get away from the people who watch Jeopardy and more to the people who watch The Office?
No, I think there's room for everybody here. I really do. You know, we can't diss Jeopardy. but I think that there is room for everybody. And I think maybe 16-year-olds aren't looking at IBM as cool. And I'll be honest. 10 years ago when I joined the company, I didn't think it was terribly cool because I didn't know better. But once you get in here and you realize that you look at the things that IBM is allowing people to do in order to cultivate social businesses, it's brilliant. It is brilliant. And I feel very, very fortunate to, you know, work and not to just, you know, go on the company line here, but I feel very fortunate to work for a company that's the size of IBM, but is willing to be as nimble, you know, and transparent about what we're doing with social media.
And I agree. And I think IBM needs to get that message out as well, because nobody outside of us knows that.
That's interesting. You know, and I've heard that before too. Yeah. We need to do a better job, but you know, how do you do that? Do you go around telling people you're cool? Cause that doesn't really work in high school, does it?
Well, you could start with doing QR codes or Twitter IDs on badges for people at conferences.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. It's a great idea, and certainly something that's been brought up in a lot of the discussions I've been on, not just for Lotusphere, but for other conferences as well. Yeah.
And I think from an outside perspective, from a perspective of a customer, as opposed to someone from the inside, I think what we want to see is just being more out there in your face. I see competitors coming in and just being right there in front of you, not just kind of under the hood where, you know, IBM is sponsoring Wimbledon and doing a lot of great stuff in there with the technology, but actually kind of marketing that experience and that knowledge of what they've already been doing for years and years and years, and just putting it out there and saying, listen, we've been doing this for years and we're cool about it. We know we're cool. You guys got to know you're cool as well.
And Ray, that kind of ties into something that worries me is are companies going to continually reduce their sales force in a push to become social business, and their sales force becomes a Twitter ID or something like that. And I think you're right. I think this is not a displacement of a sales force or even a replacement for Salesforce. I think it's an extra point of attack. And it would be interesting, you know, I'm trying to think, I'm in the Southeast United States, and I'm trying to think if I know any of the IBM salespeople who actually actively participate in Twitter streams. And I honestly don't know off the top of my head, I can't think of one. I might be wrong on that. But it would be interesting to get some training for these guys so they could keep contact with their customers. Because unfortunately, most IBM customers only get contacted once a year, and that's when their renewal is up.
And I know there are efforts in the UK. There's a chap called Ben Martin who works for IBM, whose sole job it is at the moment to be going around the sales force, educating them on what social media is and how to engage your customers and how to kind of build your reputation and relationship through social media tools. So I think there are certainly people within IBM who get that. And I know Sandy Carter understands that and is kind of communicating that through the Salesforce. So hopefully that will grow. I guess one of the challenges then is how do you manage individual accounts, which seems to be the way that a lot of people within IBM are going, and I would encourage them to, where individually they're getting involved in Twitter versus the kind of corporate accounts on Twitter and Facebook and so on for products and brands and you know, IBM as a whole. And I know there's some discussion about whether the @IBM Twitter ID last year would start tweeting, and whether that would become a bigger name in the way that Dell and so on are on Twitter. I guess, Colleen, you must have awareness of this just from, you know, your role with Lotus Live. I know you've kind of helped with the Lotus Live Twitter ID and also Lotus Live pages on Facebook. Do you see those kind of brand and product pages and accounts being really important for building those brands?
Do you know, that's a huge discussion. In fact, when I came on, onto the team here, we looked at, how many IDs do we have out there? Are we segmenting our audience too much by doing that? I don't know that that we know the right answer to that. So we're trying. We're looking at, you know, bringing people over to the IBM Social Biz ID, because really that incorporates, it should incorporate all facets of the company. It's not just a Lotus. You know, I know there's been some concern. It's not just a Lotus message there. It really is the whole company. Surely, you know, we have IBM Same Time, if following that on Twitter. And there's a big following for that. And is there a need for it? There seems to be. So we don't have the right answers, but we're constantly monitoring it and saying, you know, do we need to have these, or does it make more sense to bring these followers under the IBM Social Business umbrella? You know, I think we don't decide whether that's the right answer or not. I think our followers do.
I think that's right. And then what would be interesting then is, I guess, to analyse those accounts and see how many followers there are and see how much interactivity there is and so on. I guess that's where things like, you know, perhaps the Cognos kind of sentiment analysis comes in terms of trying to understand better how those communication methods kind of engage with the customers and which ones the customers really like and get some value from.
Exactly. And we're, we're always trying out new tools, internal tools that, you know, that we've created to help measure that. Where is the sentiment? Where are people going? Where are they coming from? And we're analyzing that every day. And next week, you know, during Social Media Week, we're certainly going to put a huge emphasis on that internally to help us understand better, what it is that our followers want. What kind of discussions do they want? You know, where should we be driving them? And that's, at the end of the day, all of this is, we're a business and we want to be able to give our followers and our customers and our business partners, you know, what it is they need to continue doing business. So it's great to be social and it's fun to be social. But at the end of the day, we definitely want them to, you know, want to give them what they need to make money. You know, I mean, I think we'd be kidding ourselves if, you know, that's essentially what people are looking for.
Absolutely right. It all comes back to business, doesn't it, at the end of the day?
Well,
it does. We need to be, you know, businesses that are social rather than being something completely different and a different way of communicating. It's all about just doing what we do better.
And cultivating the relationships. I mean, that's what we've grown to expect. You know, as a person who works for IBM and as someone who is a customer in many other circumstances, I've grown to expect that relationship. I've grown to expect that if I say something about a company online, that I could get a response to that. Or if I order something or call somewhere, I expect that there's going to be a reaction. And good or bad, I mean, you start to make opinions. You form your own opinion about a company if you're not getting the responsiveness that you want. And unfortunately, we're 24 hours, so you're expecting it right away. And social media tools, you know, help us do that. They're a piece of that puzzle.
And that's a good point. We're way beyond the drive-through generation. Now we're at the instant generation.
Oh, beyond instant. I mean, you know, you send a text and you start to wonder, why haven't I gotten a text right back?
Well, I put in a problem ticket with a vendor a couple of days ago online, thinking I'd make their life a whole lot easier, and I didn't see response back for 36 hours. I was about to pick up the phone after two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? And that's a challenge. I mean, that's certainly something we struggle with IBM, and we're putting many more tools in place to respond to that, to react to that, because it is hard when you've got a company our size and somebody mentions it. Well, who's going to respond to that? Where does that go? And so we are putting you know, measured practices into place so that we can respond and be more nimble.
I think from a customer standpoint, that's what we also need to see, along with these great tools that we have. I think the understanding of the business practice and methodologies around how to properly use it really comes into play. In my organization, I'm, you know, if I don't respond to a same time message within 30 seconds, people are coming to my desk thinking that I passed out or died or something.
And that's why you work remotely. And don't give them their address.
You know what you should do, Ray, just to see what would happen? Don't log on at the same time in the morning and just see how many people jump by your office.
Oh, they send me text messages then. It's amazing. I did that once. I went off same time for the entire day, and half our help desk support team thought I was on vacation.
Just shows how important you are to the organization, Ray. It's a good thing.
Yeah, right.
And actually, this last conversation kind of brings us on to the next in our list of topics for today, which is there was a really interesting blog post by Christian Tillmans on Planet Lotus. Many of you have seen it, entitled "Trying to Learn X Pages and Fail." And what Christian outlined in there was some of the challenges he'd had around learning X Pages, based on some of the resources he'd Googled and found, some of the wikis he'd seen, and really how some of those resources either weren't as accurate as they might have been, were out of date, or, you know, were challenging to follow perhaps. Darren, did you see this post?
I did, and he's not wrong. Now, I think the massive thread that became, and then he also posted this morning, kind of, I wouldn't quite say retraction, but a thanks, and you are kind of right, there is all of these resources. But I think with X Pages kind of taken off as much as it has, and IBM has kind of changed a couple of the core features and functionalities between each of releases, even though it's only up to 8.5.2. I think it's causing a bit of a kerfuffle, and it's difficult for people just to say, okay, today I'm going to start to learn X Pages, because I think you have to come up with first, you have to say, okay, how am I going to learn X Pages, and then build an entire project around the how that then becomes the do. And I think it's a big problem right now for potential X Pages developers. And I'm not sure if it's squarely at IBM. I think the same is true of anything that's quote-unquote new. And, you know, any technology that you see that comes out, it's going to take, you know, anywhere between 4 to 5 to 6 years to get the documentation right, to get to see, start to see the manuals. You know, we've got Dave Leedy's notes in 9. We've got, you know, Matt White's X-Pages 101. So there's things starting to fill the gap. I just think it's a bit too difficult to find all the things that you need to fill the gap.
And I guess this is as relevant to maybe some of the admin topics as they are to X-Pages as well, is that, you know, perhaps if you went back 10 years, there was, you know, you picked up your yellow book off the shelf, you know, where when you got a new version of Domino, you got 10 new yellow books that were all the documentation for that release. Maybe you grabbed a red book that talked you through, you know, a particular version of Domino and doing a particular task. Or you had the product documentation in some form or another. And it was much more related to a specific version and was all kind of wrapped up into one entity. And of course, you know, with the benefits of having so much more documentation, more information, more community-created content out there, there's a lot more of it, but it's also much more difficult to sort the wheat from the chaff. And one of the challenges is how we make that easier to do, I guess.
Well, and you're exactly right. And unfortunately, when you have open documentation like wikis, then unfortunately they can become out of date very quickly and you don't know it until you come back through and try to implement whatever the wiki had said implement. And I think it's, at least from my standpoint, I always like still structured documentation where I can open a book, an ebook, whatever, and go from step 1 to step 100 and sequential. And the problem I have with info centers is they like to jump you around. So it's, oh, if you want to do this, then you need to go back to step 2. And, oh, now you need to go to step 3.7. Oh, now you need to go back to step 1.8.4.7. And I just find that that's difficult. You know, I did a tweet a few years ago where I said, you know, info centers are a bit like the movie Memento, where you've got to write bits of it on your body so you don't actually forget. And I think the wikis have just further expounded on that underlying problem that, you know, maybe 100,000 monkeys at a keyboard may not write the Bible, and I think Twitter has disproved that theory. There needs to be some structure around the way this documentation has worked, and I would love to see a yellow book. Actually, I was at a client the other day, and he had like 20 of them on his desk, and he's like, you know what the travesty is? I can still use these today because nothing's really changed.
Well, shifting on from that particular comment down, I mean, Ray, from an admin perspective, I mean, do you see some similarities with Christian's posts? I mean, if you try to find information on ID Vault or Deos or, you know, one of those kind of recently, you know, recent features, do you think it's as easy to find that information as perhaps it should be?
Oh, it's always a challenge. I think the fact that he was able to post that out there and get the responses he did. Also lends itself though to the idea that the community is ready to help.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of finding where that information initially is at. I feel bad for the people who aren't Christian, that don't have a blog, that don't have a voice, that just get frustrated and start to look elsewhere. That's the thing I'm most concerned about, is that with the idea of, you know, this information changing at almost a daily basis, what I looked at yesterday might not be exactly what I saw, you know, or what I use tomorrow. So it's going to be a challenge in looking for that next layer of, okay, how do we best do this? Like you guys, I really want to hold a book in my hand. I think IBM would almost be remiss if they didn't do something like a nostalgic yellow book, just to say, this is where it is. I think IBM Press and other books that are coming out there that are talking about like mastering X pages or great administration guides like Same Time are essential, but they're not the final step.
And it also takes so long to get them out. I mean, it's about a year from the conversations we've had with the likes of Marie and the X Pages book guys. You know, it takes a year from start to finish. And again, if we go back to the 7 years is one real year in IT, like dog years, then it's kind of difficult because they write the book and then they got to come back in and correct the book for whatever the latest release is. And I think that's difficult on the authors, especially.
How many versions between the time they have an idea to make a book and the time they publish a book. How many versions do you go through, and what gets changed within those versions?
Exactly, and I think that's one of the reasons why Declan's famous tutorial is difficult to find now, is because I think he was worried it was so out of date, because it was pretty much written for 8.5 beta code and then 8.5.0 gold code, and since then a lot of the stuff in there could be done quote unquote better, or maybe not even works at all.
And something that I found just so impressive was the community response to this. You know, within a couple of hours, there were maybe 10 or 15 comments, all of which were listing some really great resources that are out there. And many of them community created too. I mean, some of them are IBM created, like the XPages book, but an awful lot of them are community ones. So, Matt White's great XPages101.net site, which has got, 60 plus videos on there now teaching you how to use XPages. And there's other blogs. And as you say, Declan's great series, although that may be out of date now. So, whilst maybe it's difficult to find some of this stuff, it just shows that if you look hard enough or you find the right people to ask, there is just some great content out there.
And to kind of echo Ray's sentiment here, it would be nice if IBM Loader/ICS were to create an email of all the resources and the order that you maybe should do them based off this response, because I think Christian now has a plan. And send that out to all currently, registered Lotus Notes users, just to give them something to hold on to. Because like Ray said, it's not everyone looks at Planet Lotus. In fact, I'd say it's a smattering look at Planet Lotus. So, we need to get the word beyond the community. But I agree with you, Stuart. Kudos to everybody, because it was, he did get an answer, and I think he got a very good series of answers. But now we need to get it beyond the Planet Lotus readership and out to the other, 50,000, 60,000, take your pick, however many downloaded the 8.5 designer when it went free. We need to get the information to them guys as well.
I mean, does this seem like a call to action for IBM to say, okay, we've seen in the community they helped resolve this, now let's take it to the next level and manage it? I think that kind of extends, I think, on that initial idea of okay, not only do we need to have a place to put this information, but a central location to find where the best places to look are.
Yeah, like right off the homepage, right? The notes.net homepage or whatever it's called this decade.
Or this week.
Yeah, basically. And just link it off there. Clear, central red flashing text, even though I hate it, I think that might be useful in this case. Make it obvious that, hey, this is where to start when you are dipping your toe in their X pages, and have it laid out and keep it current. And I think, the likes of David Leedy and Matt White and everyone else that posted, of course, the X pages book offers, all of them jumped in yesterday, and I think they could help, keep it current. And you could argue that maybe the xpages.info page off OpenNTF is for that. But I also think there's so many people that don't even know what OpenNTF is.
Absolutely right. And it needs to come off the central Lotus pages, and as you say, get communicated in all the newsletters as well. There's so many great newsletters that IBM sends out. It'd be good to get that word out and have it a little bit more formal based. That would be good. And just to conclude our chat for this week, something that we've discussed in the past is the Lotus jobs market and how, it goes in terms of swings and roundabouts. Some periods are very positive, some periods are less so. I just wonder, Ray, have you got any impressions in terms of where the jobs market is based on what you see going around?
What I'm seeing, I mean, just from my perspective, I'm here in the Midwest, is that there are, the jobs are starting to come up, the jobs are starting to pick back up again, and I see organizations and companies actually asking for the newer and more current technologies. I actually see job descriptions that are asking for people who know X pages, which is outstanding. What concerns me is those administrative positions. I don't see the administrative positions bubbling back up as fast as the development positions. Not that I'm necessarily looking or anything, but of course, if you're in IT, you're always looking. But I think that for admins, I think the necessary skill sets that we currently had and walking around saying, yes, I'm a domino administrator, I don't think cuts it anymore. I think you have to be, you have to know more about everything in order to be marketable these days.
And I would absolutely second that. I don't think there's such a thing now as a dominant administrator unless you're in a company that has maybe 10,000 plus users or even higher than that. I think you have to be a jack of all trades, a master of some. And that's just the way I think the IT has gone. And I think the recession had something to do with that. But I think it was always, you know, when you had your little fiefdom and your little silo, that you weren't really providing value to the company. So I think that change is not good for the individual, but I think it's very good for the company. But I've also seen a couple of job posts mentioning the newer technologies. And I'm starting to see some with connections in a bit more. And not necessarily just IBM job postings with the word connections. So maybe it is starting to take off.
And that would be great. I'd love to see more positions involving connections and quicker. We don't see that many in the UK, but maybe that's just a kind of a geographical difference. But certainly I'm saying the same as you are, Ray. You know, plenty of ex-pages developer positions coming up, which is great to see. I think, you know, going back to your point about Domino administrators, you know, obviously we're seeing the push to the cloud that's taking away some of those positions. We're seeing some migrations away to other technologies, but also just the scalability of these solutions. You know, I remember way back in R5 days, you know, you'd have a mail server for every 500 users or something. You'd have, you know, many of those clustered because, you know, the reliability of the hardware or the software wasn't there. Whereas just today, you know, we're just so used to thousands of users on a machine, them, you know, almost never failing unless it's some kind of power outage or something. And I guess that's always going to take away some of the complexity of the Domino environments that mean that you just don't need so many administrators.
And I'm just wondering go ahead.
I was going to say, and IBM have made it simpler to manage, I think. Yeah. So go ahead, Ray.
Oh, I was just going to say, I wonder if the evolution of the administrator is the person that would go in and optimize the environments. I think one of the challenges that I'm seeing bubbling up is not the people who can be administrators, because, you know, what was happening, at least what I've been hearing stories around here, was, you know, Domino administrators were getting let go. And the person that was running the Windows servers all of a sudden became the Domino admin, which is great if you want the basic up and running. But I think where the next level of existence for the admins is the person that's going to optimize that environment so they can squeeze in more people on less servers.
And I've actually seen a lot of migrations happen because of that, where the Domino administrator was potentially superfluous to requirements, or maybe a bit more expensive than they thought they should be. So they let them go and then put the, like Ray said, the Windows server administrator, the next button jockey in his place. And that led to a migration to Exchange because they perceive that's easy to manage. And a lot of the functionality is hidden from them, so they don't have to know anything. And I think that's a big risk to the market right now is companies getting rid of the Domino administrators, putting the Windows administrators in, and then the Windows administrators making a concerted effort to move it all onto one stack.
Oh, and I think not only that, but when they go in and they put in, they make the Windows admin the Domino admin, and then they tell that the Windows admin, okay, how's the Domino servers doing? And they're saying, well, it's doing okay, but I know Exchange can do it better. So, you know, the whole optimization piece of it, performance enhancements and performance tuning just isn't happening anymore, where the Domino admins used to do that. That was part of their bread and butter.
And it gets worse than that. It's like, oh, I don't know how to do that in Domino, but if you went to Exchange, I know how to do that.
It's a challenge,
absolutely,
isn't it? It's a challenge. I mean, obviously, every company's going to want to cut the cost of their IT spend, and you know that's an area that they may want to do. Unless those Domino administrators can also become, you know, developers or get skilled in connections, or you know, move into some other area to add to their skills list, so that you know they're still needed, and then they can keep hold of the Domino administration role as well as part of that. So, challenging times for all of us, I'm sure, as time goes on. So that brings us to the list of our topics for this week. As ever, we ask our contributors to also bring a tip with them to share with you, the listeners. So Darren, do you want to kick us off for this week?
Number one, be very careful of what you think the past tense of tweet is. if nothing else this week happened, I won't say the word because, hey, this is a family-oriented program. But be very careful when you are tweeting certain words that may have different connotations. But my real tip, for anyone that's followed me on Twitter over the last couple of weeks, you'll know I've been doing a lot of SNMP stuff off and on for a while. And one of the things that we realized was all of the UPSs laying around had SNMP webcams in them, and they only cost like $250. And most high-end UPSs have the slot to put them in. And when you put them in, you can actually get the UPSs and stuff like that. And this is more for the small and medium business and one-man shops or the little teams of administrators. You can actually get the UPSs to email you when the power drops, but before the battery runs out, so you know that it's going to be a really bad Monday morning before you get there. And because it's SNMP, you're able to actually tie it into your web monitoring tools like Nagios, WhatsApp Gold, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, the big guys have it, Triplight, APC. The higher the end of UPS, the more likely you are to have this slot, but it's well worth the money, so you know already when the power has gone out, especially if it's a business critical system.
Great tip. That's good for anybody who runs their own UPS. Thank you for that. And Colleen, do you have a tip?
Yes, my first tip is to always use the mute button when you have a labradoodle. Actually, what I is something that I've been following for the past 2 weeks in the prep for Social Media Week is this great website. It's socialmediaweek.org. And next week, as they kick it off, I mentioned earlier that in 12 cities, they're going to be hosting this event. That essentially means that these 12 cities are hosting, people from those cities are hosting these online events. And if you go to that site and go under schedule, there's basically 24 hours a day worth of, these online meetings, great topics. If you wanted to stay up all night, like we typically do, you can. I'd recommend going there, looking, and you can sign up for them. A lot of them still look open. So go and listen in. So that would be my tip for this week.
Excellent. Thank you, Colleen. And Ray, what's your tip?
I actually have two of them. One of them, when you're getting prepared to be on This Week in Lotus, whatever time you give yourself to prepare, make sure you give yourself another hour, just because you never know what's going to happen. Also, when you're try to find a job that's at least less than an hour from your house, especially when you're going to be on This Week in Lotus, because the drive will every day try to kill you.
Excellent. Thank you, Ray. Good tips for us all. And my tip, just to finish off, is an app for the iPad. It's called Zite, Z-I-T-E. I think Luis Benitez might have mentioned it on his blog recently. I certainly got it from a friend. Zite is free. It creates a personalized magazine that you can read on your iPad. And the great thing about it, there's plenty of apps that do just that bit well. But what Zite does is every time you look at a post, it gives you kind of an option to vote up or down on that post, and also to pick out particular terms from that post that you can kind of use to say, I want to follow that term. So say in a blog post from around our community, it might mention Lotus, it might mention collaboration, it might mention social. You can tick on those and say, I want to be given more content around those terms. So every time you use it, you're really training it in terms of the types of magazine articles, blog posts that you want to see. The other thing it does is it gets rid of all the advertising. And so you just see really nicely formatted content, very graphical, lots of lots of videos and images in there, very easy to read, great to read when you're on the train. And you can also tweet and blog and email those articles around. So it's, if you've seen deluges of tweets from me of content that I found interesting in recent weeks, it's typically come when I've had half an hour to sit in front of Zite and read some of those articles. So
somebody actually asked me the other day, how does Stuart find out about all of these esoteric bits of information that nobody else on the planet knows?
I've just given away my secret.
In the coming weeks, what was the excuse before then?
Oh yeah, good point. Sorry, Colleen. Yeah, so that's a Zite.com, Zite.com or Zite, depending on where you are. Well worth a look, and it's free, as I mentioned. So thanks for those tips, all good info. Darren, do you want to kick us off? Where do people find you during the coming week?
blog.darrenduke.net for mostly technical related posts, and the longest Apple terms of service review you've ever seen on the planet. People have complained about that. Why did you post the entire thing? I thought it was a joke, but whatever. And Darren Duke, all one word on Twitter for my 140-character rants.
Excellent. Thank you, Darren. And Colleen, do you have a Twitter ID or blog that people can go to?
I do. So you can follow me on my own personal blog at Colleen, C-O-L-L-E-E-N-I. So Colleen I. Or I'd also recommend you following IBM Social Biz. That's IBM Social B-I-Z. Especially next week. Follow that hashtag. You know, we want people to weigh in using that hashtag. And, you know, hopefully we're going to see a lot of great content. They could also go to the IBM Social Business Insights blog. And you can find that URL on our Twitter site.
Lovely. Thank you, Colleen. Really appreciate you taking time out to join us. And good luck with that Iron Man as well.
Oh, thank you. Half Iron Man. Let Half me just Iron be Man. Clear.
Still, that's a good 95% more Iron Man than I've ever been.
And when is that, Colleen?
That is next Sunday, the 25th.
Excellent.
So I will finish it, but if I don't, we've signed up for one in Miami in November.
Okay.
So
I must say, you make me feel more guilty than anybody else on Facebook, Colleen. I see your Facebook post, it just makes me think I should be out there running.
Oh, but I'm not good. That's the thing. I've done it for a few years now, and you know, I've got a very high ceiling, so it's good stuff. It's fun.
Sorry, Darren, you were saying?
I was saying you won't see me at the Ironman race even this week or in November.
Maybe virtually?
No.
And Ray.
I'll let you know how it goes then.
Thank you.
And Ray, how do people find you?
They can find me at theprideLands.com, or you can check me out on Twitter, Ray Billick, RayBillyk, for my rants. And I will be actually participating in the Marshmallow Man also the same week as Colleen.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. That's great. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre or on the blog, which is blog.collaborationmatters.com, and a few others besides. So thank you all for taking part. Thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And please do leave comments on either on our Facebook page or on the blog at thisweekinlotus.com. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.
This Week in Lotus is proud to be sponsored by Sonos. Sonos allows you to stream all the music on Earth wirelessly in any room, with a big sound from the latest Play 3 player in a compact size and at a price you've never seen before, just $299 per unit. Control it wirelessly with your Android or iOS device. Get free 2-day shipping with a special promo code available only from This Week in Lotus. Go to thisweekinlotus.com/sonos for more information.
I'm going to be in the Pillsbury Doughboy. That's all I'm going to be in.